All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, have you ever made coffee filter snowflakes?
The fuck are you talking about?
Have you ever made
that? That doesn't make any sense. Like, what are those words together?
Gary, have you ever made coffee filter snowflakes?
No, I haven't. Suitcase rainstorm uncle, like lawyer for your teeth.
It's a thing. I mean, maybe this was a product of the non-politically correct 90s Ohio school system, or maybe it was Sunday school or whatever. No, a coffee filter snowflake is a kid's craft where you take a coffee filter and you fold it over several times, like into a triangle from the center, and then
like a paper snowflake.
Yeah.
Why are you guys wasting coffee filters on that?
That's just what we use because it was already circles.
Oh man. Okay. Sorry. Very well. You know what's not a circle? A snowflake.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was possible to have a wrong childhood, but there we go.
Well, you managed it. I didn't realize it was possible either, but here we are.
look at me, I'm Gary Butterfield. When I was a kid, I was right.
I don't waste coffee supplies.
It was my parents. Oh. It was my parents' decision, or the teacher's decision. God,
are they cousins? sorry.
No, it's fine.
Anywho, I now know what you mean.
Okay, you're coming at me hard.
Yeah, I know. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the world. Okay, so a paper snowflake.
No, I figured we could take turns. We could take turns using these very sharp scissors to cut a couple holes in this. See what comes out.
That sounds good. Might be a game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So I'm just gonna snip, 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 snip. Okay. Here you go.
Or snip.
Okay.
Snip.
All right. I'll take it back here and I'll oh God. I got myself real good.
Well, we should use the safety scissors.
Oh, I can see
ones that don't work.
I can see bone.
Oh, the Toms of Maine of scissors. I got these from Trader Joe's. They don't work.
Sorry. That joke isn't that funny. I'm just laughing because I'm delirious from blood loss.
Yeah, you are bleeding a lot.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Well, no. The show must go on. Open it up and see what it says, and then I'm gonna call 911. One sec.
It's very bloody, so it's a little bit hard to read, but it looks like it says "Night Cry."
Hey. It's gonna be here at. Yeah. No. I see bone. Okay. The ambulance is coming. It's gonna be about a half hour. So you said you say "Night Cry."
I said "Night Cry."
Fuck.
Said fuck, because I was half expecting like a showdown about this being that this is a survival horror spiritual successor to Clock Tower, and it's hot shit.
Holy
it's
god, garbage. This is really, really bad.
Okay, good. Thank goodness.
No,
thank goodness. Not, you're back. Your childhood is good now.
I'm dumb, but I'm not deranged. Like,
well, I don't think you're dumb. I just think you have a greater tolerance for a survival horror stuff.
No, I find this academically interesting, but I would never say somebody should play it.
It's excruciating.
Ooh boy.
This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering. Missing Gridler needs Gridler.
Yeah. Why are you doing this to us? We're back to a classic. Wow, this is bad. This is Night Cry. A Kickstarter game by the original developer the original designer of Clock Tower. This was demanded by Mike Suskey, who says, "I almost always finish a game before I review it. This is one of the few that broke me."
Yeah, this is, I'm having a hard time imagining finishing this.
No,
I'd never heard of it. I'm just not plugged into this world. And the first thing that popped up was the developer was Nude Maker. And I was oh, whoa, okay. Cause I didn't recognize the name.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that was a first draft name that people went with and made a lot of games under.
Yeah. Including like Steel Battalion.
Yeah. Nude Maker.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I saw that in the splash screen and I thought, oh, is that like the name of a program that they use to model these characters?
I thought that too,
wouldn't have surprised me given the characters, but yeah, no, just totally the name of the totally the name of this developer that has been around since 2002 or 1998, what's, rather. Yeah.
I played this before I read anything about it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad, I wish I had done the other way, because when I first played it, I thought, oh, this is like a shitty amateur kind of cynical version of trying to do Deadly Premonition. Mm-hmm. Like some of the rhythms of conversation, and then just the weird, like, you go up in a bar and you talk to this old man, it does a weird little push in on his beaker full of an eyeball.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this is really trying to be Deadly Premonition, but on purpose.
It's,
and
not like that doesn't happen.
That definitely happens in it. You know, but then learning, it's like, no, this is actually probably doesn't come from a cynical point of view. Mm-hmm. It just comes from an inept one.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I almost backed this Kickstarter, but then the period ended. And I, you know, I was like, whatever, I'll get it when it comes out. I'm happy I didn't back the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
The story from this, or, you know, it's pretty simple. They, you know, kickstarted this. It didn't succeed. I believe they tried again, something like that. Took a couple of tries. They just barely got it. And then they proceeded to take a very long time to get it out. And also they ran out of money. And I've never seen a game that is more obviously unfinished. I probably have seen a game that is more obviously unfinished. This is a textbook example of like, oh yeah, they just ran out of money.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of that money would have went into things like, well, I don't know where the money would have went, because some of the things that are bad about this are like first principles.
Yes.
Things. You know, you're unlikely to find two people who are bigger fans of fixed camera angles in the same space
right?
as this. And this still fucks it up.
Yeah.
Like having, like pairing that with mouse controls,
mm-hmm.
Ruins it.
Yeah.
It's garbage. Like moving around in this game fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do. Yeah. It is, you know, it's not fun. And it also only ran for me in windowed mode. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get to run in full screen. So clicking near the edge of the screen would half like click off the screen and minimize the program.
Yeah.
That happened constantly.
Yeah. Another part of the origin for this, it was originally designed for Android and iOS. Like that was mm-hmm. the game that they made, but they never released it on those platforms. So that is why it is entirely a touch interface. And by touch interface, I mean mouse interface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does feel mobile gamey to me.
Yeah. And you're thinking, okay, wait, clock tower. That's weird. Like point and click to get away, like, you know, get away from somebody carrying scissors coming after you.
Yeah. That is weird.
Yeah. And you know, the first few clock towers were like that. Right. You know, they mm-hmm. were point and click 3D games, not 3D on the SNES. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the chasing was kind of slow enough and methodical enough that it was more about making the decisions. On this, when I was running away from the scissor man or whatever, it just would come after me. And it was like the game was saying, fuck you, click harder.
Yeah. Click harder and don't make the weird. Sorry. I thought I could stifle that one down.
No, well.
I was really trying to push that down. Click harder, or just like don't make the weird little turns that you end up accidentally making in this game constantly.
Yeah, when you,
because the camera changes. The
camera changes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Oofa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Oofa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I played about a half an hour of this and I died a couple of times because I just kind of hid in the wrong place.
I read some reviews. I didn't play that much, but I read some reviews, and apparently that's a big problem with this.
Yeah.
There's just kind of arbitrary things where it's like you either open the wrong door or hide in the wrong place and you just die.
Yeah. To the game's minor credit, when that happens, it is often with a special, kind of bespoke death animation. So like the first time when I was running away from this monster, I, passed through a laundry room and I saw, oh, there's a big dryer. And I can interact with the door. So I climbed in there and lo and behold, this person does their own laundry because it walks up and turns it on and both cooks my character and flays the skin from her bones in the drum as she.
Yeah.
Yeah. as she's killed in the dryer. And that, I think, ultimately is what this game is all about, is the death situations and the death animations.
Yeah. Like a less fun Mac Venture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like one that's harder to play. Like there's some joy that can happen in that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is a way to make a game where it's fun to see all these unique things, but yeah. Like has survival horror successfully done it? Cause I know that's a big problem with the Evil Within one as well.
Yeah.
Like there are like interesting ways to die, but it just sucks.
Yeah. But it's not, just it's all cool. It's all instant death that like just kind of nails you.
Yeah.
No, I mean, instant death is like it might be leavened a little bit by that additional by that additional variety. But I can't think of a time where like an entire product could rely on that. Right.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It is a mitigating factor, not a redemptive factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play a game just for that.
Nope.
Especially not one that's so like shitty in the hands as this.
And like, you know, I don't know, maybe there's something that's not particularly great about a game where you mostly play women and you are, you know, the entire thing exists just to show them dying horribly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. There's some interesting stuff about that where like it feels like way too little too late.
Yeah.
Right. Like on the Wikipedia for this, he talks about how this protagonist is louder and angrier because between games, he had the realization that women are not timid.
Right.
That's a weird thing to say, right?
Wait a minute.
You know, like here we go. The actual quote is grosser. He cites the differences as a result of his changing perception of women who he no longer idealizes as docile and ladylike.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nah. sometime between 2007 and 2017, like that is not necessarily the right window at which to have that realization.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it's pretty, pretty late.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just idealizes that makes it, you know,
yeah,
it wasn't just like a lazy trope to make the villain seem, bad. It was how he designed the characters with, it wasn't unintentional.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, this character has to be helpless and shitty.
Mm-hmm. And
you know, that's gross.
It's not like I don't have affection for the earlier Clock Tower series and, you know, Haunting Ground has a lot of problems, but I still will kind of halfway go to bat for it. You know, additionally, if I rolled out seeing scantily clad women get hurt, I would not be able to watch a slasher movie. Like it's just kind of part of the genre.
There's just grosser and less gross ways to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
The it's also the nice thing about the Clock Tower movies is they posit a kind of Jim Carrey movie-esque philosophical question: what if there was a scissored man? Like liar, liar, Bruce Almighty,
liar, liar, man. Yes man, scissor man.
Scissor man, yes man, scissor man.
Scissor liar.
You can't trust him. He surrounds himself with scissor men. You know? We call him the scissor man because he's always cutting us up. So a Grant Morrison Doom Patrol villain. Unless somebody take away my Grant Morrison card. I know that there are scissor men. I know that there are scissor men. But yeah, what if there was a man whomst was a scissor man?
Cool. Yep. No.
What if? And
I'm not gonna say it's an ineffective horror image, right?
Yeah. Being scissored is bad.
Unless that's your thing, in which case go for it.
Yeah. And but with gigantic scissors, like that seems like it's like if Nightmare on Elm Street was made now,
right?
Like, so you like being scissored, do you? And then like pull out a gigantic pair of scissors and Nightmare on Elm Street to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And just kind of going to town on your
mm-hmm. Grump.
So, yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. Just
the whole zone.
Just call it the Hulk zone.
The Hulk zone, but I like okay. The Hulk zone as well, brother. Love the Hulk zone, brother. Whenever I think of Scissor Man, I think of that scene in the extremely underrated and good movie Cabin Boy.
Oh yeah,
where the giant husband grabs Cabin Boy and has a pair of toenail clippers.
Oh yeah,
that are giant. There's gonna toenail clip his head off. Like, what an efficient murdering tool a toenail clipper would be if it was bigger. It'd be like the greatest weapon man has ever seen.
I mean, isn't that the case for a lot of things? Like, what, you know, looking at this, what an efficient weapon a laser level would be if it was bigger. Sorry, I've got a laser level on my desk.
Oh, yeah, laser level would be good, even though it might just still be light.
Yes.
Like, more, like a bigger light does not mean more hurdy light.
Right, right. Doesn't mean you could cook them. Yeah.
Yeah, you could blind somebody with a laser, like a giant laser level.
Yeah, so. Yeah. No, this one makes a vacuum.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. So that might also be a thing. Maybe you could just kind of like put it up there to their butt and suck out all their guts. Like,
sure,
like, yeah. Like there's a sea cucumber. Yeah, or their mouth. Oh, I mean, come on, mouth.
And yeah, why not?
What is this church?
Good for the goose, it's good for the gander. like you can do it to anything.
Yeah,
you can suck it through anything. Like your nipple, even a male nipple is technically an aperture. You know, like.
Sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, as far as like big tools go, scissors are pretty good. I just don't think they should have stopped there. I think they're cool.
No, I should have looked left because there's a corkscrew here and that would be good. I'm corkscrew man.
Corkscrew man. Corkscrew man's not bad.
Yeah.
I don't know what tiny tool I would use. I have nail clippers here, but I already said that, so I don't use it. I have a butter knife, and a giant butter knife just seems like a paddle. That's not
gonna hurt anybody. I mean, you know? Like I can't imagine it would be fun to be cut up by a butter knife.
No, it would just take, you'd have to have extremely patient victims.
Gary, I have a shit ton of shit on my desk. I've got a crescent wrench. Yeah, I've got a crescent wrench right here. Yeah, I've got toenail clippers. Holy shit, Gary, I think I might have a clutter problem.
The that's only two things, my son. Okay. Not quite a clutter problem. The thing, here's my tool if we're gonna become themed men.
Okay.
On this is that I have a bottle of eyeglass cleaner spray.
Okay.
And I want that. But to be able to just like spray somebody where it bowls them over and like burns their eyes and shit. Like essentially just be like this huge, like,
you want
to
be a xenomorph. Tank.
Very similar to a xenomorph, but just like blinds people temporarily. And then at that point, then I could use a regular size butter knife and cut them up if I wanted to, you know, use whatever I want. I got all day. As long as I keep them blind.
Yeah. I want to be, so another thing on my desk here, and be clipboard man. It wouldn't necessarily be, the murder weapon, but
it's so sneak into big parties.
Like I've hit me.
Yeah, like the gods are throwing a party and you could walk in with a giant clipboard and just sneak past Zeus.
But no, just to have a gigantic clipboard that I could hang people upside down from, you know, to let all the blood out of them.
Yeah, that'd be like back in your lair.
Mm.
We're talking about a serial killer who's very small.
Okay.
You know, or just has a growth ray.
Yeah.
You know, and has made all these everyday objects really big. Yeah. I think if I actually had a growth ray, though, mostly I do is increase the size of my monitor and TV. You know,
that is the only thing that I like covet being bigger, actually.
Yeah, I think if I had a big space to live in instead of this apartment, like having a big TV would be nice.
Yeah. So what you have pitched is the opposite of the Matt Damon movie Downsizing.
Yeah, upsizing. to solve the same problems as downsizing, I could also use the growth rate on food. Food and feed people.
Yeah.
You know, and even just myself, like every once in a while, you know, you go to a restaurant and they'll have like free refills on some shit you don't want.
Oh yeah.
Like they'll be like, you know, sometimes I'll go to a restaurant and it'll have, you know, you go to Red Robin or whatever and you get unlimited fries.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how on earth does one person eat two servings of fries?
Right.
That's not possible. There's no reason to have unlimited fries. But sometimes I'm like, man, I could do for another quarter of that burger. You know, I could just increase the burger size a little bit.
No, well, what you want is that machine that Mondo Burger had in the movie Good Burger.
I had never seen that. I'm just a generational thing, man. I've never seen the Good Burger.
Yeah, so. No, good Burger served good burgers, but they were small. Mondo Burger was a huge chain. They had a machine that was like a pizza oven, you know, like with the belt that would move it through. But they came out on the other side really big, but they tasted bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That happens in Back to the Future 2 as well.
Oh, yeah.
Where they run the pizza
through the bigulator.
Yeah, I think it's a rehydrator in Back to the Future 2.
Okay. I'm going to stick with my Good Burger reference. I've been thinking about Good Burger a lot recently, Gary.
Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know. A lot in Good Burger adjusted terms. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, any like thinking about Good Burger at all is probably a lot. Relative.
I don't know. Significantly more than I would.
Yeah, more than the mean, I think.
Yeah, even though it does have Kel or Keenan.
Yes,
one of those two.
It primarily has both Kel and yeah. Keenan.
Or please, Kel or Keenan. Keenan, who became a Saturday Night Live
right
picture, yeah. A modern Saturday Night Live, which is you know, at turns intolerable, but he's good. He has funny deliveries. He's my favorite part of the David S. Pumpkin sketch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he does good work in that sketch. I mean, maybe not my favorite part. The initial concept of that is very funny to me. Yes. But the, I mean, and it was funny to you too, listeners. Like, admit it. I know it's like 2012 or whatever, but it was funny.
Let me put in today's date and the date that came out. Are we in backlash or backlash to the backlash? We're in backlash, so we're good. Yeah.
Yeah. If people forgot about it, but there'll be, you know, there'll be one lone David S. Pumpkins at Halloween this year.
No.
Fighting the good fight.
God, that'd be fucking hilarious, wouldn't it?
Can you imagine having a gigantic mini pumpkin? And then you could be fighting with that.
Well, I mean, so I did. Here's what you do to live as a king among men. You get the bigulator. You make your big scissors and your big eyeglass cleaner or whatever. Yeah. You, my friend, take over state fairs.
Oh, yeah.
I had a fucking with huge rabbit right here.
Yeah. Some pig. crispy bacon. Yeah, that'd be great. Or just like you could turn all Charlotte's kids into Charlotte instantly.
No, just a swarm of replacement moms.
Yeah, just anytime like all these just like salutations and just like salutations. You know,
they're all there. Salutations, Orson. I don't want to hurt you. I have no choice.
No, not the children of Charlotte.
I'm going to web you up into a spider hot pocket.
Time to drink you, my son.
This just happens to be the largest web that I can afford.
The biculator is a really cool idea because let's say you had one of Charlotte's idiot kids.
Okay.
And it spins a normal web. You can make the web really huge and turn their house into, like, everyone says they want a really big house.
Mm-hmm.
But if your house was the size of an infinite mansion instantly, Charlotte Web.
Cast them into Charlotte's web of leaves.
Yeah. Exactly. Like just all of a sudden, and you could do it whenever you wanted, you know? Be great. Torture them all one by one.
Yeah.
And I'll show her for dying and making me cry when I was a kid.
God. Just universally devastating. Shame on you, E.B. White.
Yeah. You like fucked up. And it just, we had to ignore a bunch of weird bullshit up until that point. Like, I talked about Charlotte's Web a lot. I need to watch it again because I've had it on the brain. But just the idea that, like, oh, this pig can speak and write English. It gets one more day is very funny to me. Like, or not speak, but can write and spell English. And everyone forgets about that goose.
Yep.
Like, everyone's like, oh, Templeton, Charlotte, and Wilbur. But everyone forgets about that W-W-W. Like the aristocratic goose.
Yeah, I know. What's her name? Thurston Howell the Third's wife, Mrs. Howell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
No. Mrs. Howell the goose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A giant goose would be fucked up, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're already mean.
Goose is rough stuff. Yeah,
I don't want to give them like the bark for the bite, you know?
Yeah. Swan Lake Placid.
Oh man, yeah. No, I probably would. If I had that amazing power, I probably would eventually feed people. But yeah, I probably make my monitor bigger.
Both my monitors bigger first. If it had reverse settings, I'd make Pocket smaller.
He's already so small though.
Oh, he's big.
Yeah,
he's a big boy.
Oh. No, you've been saying on social media that he's so small.
He's little in just comparison to me.
Right, right.
In comparison to the threats about. But he's big for a kitten, and he has a lot of power, and he can hamstring me at any point.
He's a big power kitten.
He's a big power kitten. So I would like to turn him back to his little handheld days. He's a proper Neo Geo now.
He's gone from a Game Boy Micro to a Game Boy.
To a Game Boy Macro.
No, he's a Game Gear.
He's a Game Gear. He's a 3DS XL. So I might shrink him if I had the reversal power.
Mm-hmm.
But food would be a big one, even though the logistics of that would really suck because you'd have to be like, hey, World Health Organization, like, listen, no follow-up question. Here's a lot of food.
Yeah.
You know, don't ask where this came from, but there's a lot of it.
So here's the thing. I mean, and this probably gets down to like really pedantic science kind of stuff. So are you adding more biomass to it? Because the idea, are you making it bigger so that there's more of it, or is it bigger and like, okay, the bun on this gigantic hamburger, well, it's mostly air.
In my mind, so that's the most reasonable thing,
right,
that would happen. But I like the idea of it being like the Richard Matheson story about the box, where something else in the world that you don't know what it is gets smaller.
Oh, okay.
So it borrows mass from that, and you don't know what it is, but
what if it was your donuts? Sorry.
It can't be something you... Well, eventually I would just let it ride, you know, because like at some point going into negative dick is probably okay. You know, like I just get small and I would just get, then it'd be like, okay, well, I lost my dick, but I have unlimited use of of this
of the bigulator.
Well, you could also rebiggin your dick if you just in small one burger.
Yeah,
you know.
Sorry, I did mean to be puerile, but it was I just wanted to cut to the chase so we didn't eventually get there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You gotta take away its power. Okay.
Yeah. Eventually. Yeah. And if it was just what if it was just like a random dick?
Yeah.
You know that, and it would be like the box rules where it's like it's somebody you don't know and you'll never meet. But it still has consequences against you because that's what that, you know, happens that story. Right. So like me making this gigantic cheeseburger for starving orphans has made someone's dick small and that will somehow impact me in the future.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. That'd be rough stuff. Like what if it could just make somebody like go buy a fancy car that runs me down or something like that. You know, man, shrinking the Frankenstein.
Oh, shit. OK.
I would love to shrink the Frankenstein.
No.
Not so loud now. Yeah.
Make it into a power wheel.
Yeah, fuck you, Frankenstein, and fuck your teen drivers.
Into Frankenstein Jr. or whatever that Game Boy game is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I could shrink, I would shrink Frankenstein down small enough to where it was like really like the size of a grain of pepper and then swallow Frankenstein and it could go on a rip-roaring adventure through my guts.
Mm.
Too small to hurt me, but pretty fun for those teens.
Fantastic voyage. Yeah.
The Frankenstein and friends through my colon and intestines.
Whoa.
The yeah. That's all I got on the bigulator.
Yeah.
I just you know.
No, I feel like we ran that out.
I had a lot of stuff to say about it, surprisingly, but
like, it's a very fertile topic.
It's extremely fertile.
We're coming up on 300, and we're just now getting to the bigulator. For the love of God, if we've ever talked about the bigulator before, do not call it to our attention.
Yeah, I do not really care about the.
let me have my claims.
Yeah, no more bigulator talk. Do not.
Yeah,
we don't really get those kind of pedants.
Ah, true.
Yeah. Like going episode 273 of the Itchy and Scratchy cartoon. Like we don't really get that.
Right. Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. So my version of the Scissor Man would be the corkscrew. I think the corkscrew would be the way to go.
Corkscrew is not bad.
Yeah.
Corkscrew is
extract somebody's heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe one of those like a wine corkscrew. Like one of those with the leverage.
Oh, that's what I got. That's finger rattling, yeah. What else meant pulling corks out of, Gary?
Well, I just thought you meant because there's a corkscrews that look like they're like belaying hooks.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
it's just screw and you hold it. It's a punch dagger,
right?
Like essentially, I thought you meant one of those.
No, I drank some wine over the weekend. It was at my computer desk, so
that's
what my life's like.
How is that? Would you like to? Would you use the Imbiginator to increase that wine?
It wasn't very good, so no.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you fall in wine?
I'm trying to drink more of it, not for any like particular reason, but I don't really like getting drunk anymore, except, you know, like when we're at a live show and even then, but I still enjoy the taste of alcohol and alcoholic beverages. I feel like, I have hit a lot of beers and there are a lot of flavors and wines that I have not quite experienced. So I'm just kind of messing around with it. Yeah, I am warmer on wine than I have been in the past.
I think everybody gets that age, and I met it too, where you like if you didn't like wine before, you want to start experimenting with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
and not because I want to be fancy, because I mean honestly, like a lot of the wine that I get, basically I look for whatever is on the deepest discount. So like I will not buy a $7 bottle of wine if the original price was $10, but I will buy a $15 bottle of wine if the original price was $40, right?
Yeah.
So like it's not to be fancy because I'm still a discount drunk or a discount drinker or whatever. But no, I just want I want new flavors, you know.
It feels like such a big category of drinking to cut myself off from, you know. But I definitely I realize that there are, you know, it tops out is all right.
Yeah.
For me, and then bottoms out is like this is pretty this is kind of unpleasant and instantly dries out my mouth.
Oh yeah.
You know, as red wine, but I definitely had some time. I was talking about this with my girlfriend and it's something I think of, and this is this could be if I wanted to participate in those unpopular opinion thread things. I don't know how unpopular it is.
Okay.
I feel so sure about this. I think that the idea, in terms of, you know, cause wine is a romantic beverage.
It is associated with romance. Yeah.
I think cheap wine is more romantic than expensive wine.
Okay.
Like sharing like a box of wine with somebody, you know, it's like, I just feel like you're going to have, it's like, these people actually love each other. Yeah. They're going to have some like fucking amazing sex and stuff like that. Two people sharing an expensive bottle of wine.
It feels like it's about the wine, not the bond.
Yep. It all I can think of is like rich people who never fuck, like who once fucked, like parents, like waspy ass parents who once fucked and no longer do, or at least not each other.
Yeah.
And then just retiring to separate bedrooms to take Xanax and fall asleep.
Right.
You know, that's all I can think of with expensive wine. Like, it does not have that feeling of connection or affection to me.
Yeah. No, I don't know that it's I wouldn't say it would be unpopular. It's not an opinion that I've ever heard articulated, though. But that rings true for me, I think.
I think so. Yeah. There's some shitty song on the Empire Records soundtrack where they talk about splitting a cheap bottle of wine and watching Saturday Night Live. And I'm like, oh, like that just sounds like a, you know, and that was in the 90s when Saturday Night Live was like, you know, my period, so I liked it.
Yeah.
You know, and then so there's just like, oh, that sounds very romantic to me. You know, lying on like a pull-out couch or something like that, you know, like Jack and Diane.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of romances that you write little ditties about.
Yes, especially little ditties. Until you write the little ditty, and then you run it through the big you later.
The big you later, like the big ditty.
It turns it into a power ballad.
Yeah, it turns it into Power Diddy, aka P Diddy. P Diddy stands for power.
Oh man, that's very good. If this was Monster of My Podcast, that would be the blackout. Yeah.
We gotta be pretty close to the end anyway. I don't have anything else to say.
We're right about a half hour. Night Cry is not good. It's really bad. Like, so this was suggested a while ago, but it's pretty expensive. And I had to wait for it to go on sale.
Yeah.
For us to kind of justify it.
So thanks for your patience, Mike.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Appreciate it. Yeah. And thanks everybody for listening. Mm-hmm. If you like this show, the best thing you can do is support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah.
And hit us up.
Yeah. Get two extra episodes of the show per month, which is really fun. We got an episode about Super Noah's Ark 3D coming up, actually. So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That should be fun. And then ratings and reviews on iTunes are very helpful.
Yeah.
And that's probably about it.
I think so.
And until next time, who is Big Dog?
Sorry. Yeah. No, it has been the right amount of time since I've thought about Big Dog. That made me laugh.